I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of different plants and over 2 million happy customers? They have all the plants your yard needs, like fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, whatever plants you're interested in. Fast Growing Trees has you covered. Find the perfect fit in your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Order online and get your plants delivered directly to your door in just a few days without ever leaving home. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures your plants arrive happy and healthy. Plus, get support from trained plant experts on call to help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them. We love Fast Growing Trees. It's a great way to get great plants at your house and to have a lush environment. And you should use them. They're an excellent service. This spring, they have the best deals for your yard, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get 15% off their first purchase when using the code LOVEIT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LOVEIT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LOVEIT. Now's the perfect time to plant. Use LOVEIT to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply. What's up, Los Angeles? Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Dynasty Typewriter. We've got white smoke in the chimney, so you know that means we got a great show for you tonight. Kerry Kenny Silver is here. And she'll ask, was I in this? Then Zach Zimmerman joins us to talk good surprises and bad decisions right before we all wrap it up with the spoils of a show well done. But first, let's get into it. What a week. Newly elected Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney met with Trump at the White House on Tuesday, less than an hour after Trump wrote of Canada on True Social, "We don't need their cars, we don't need their energy, we don't need their lumber, we don't need anything they have other than their friendship, which hopefully we will always maintain. They, on the other hand, need everything from us." I want to say this is not how people maintain friendships, but now that I'm watching Real Housewives, I know that there are many ways to define friendship. During the meeting, Trump mused about the economic and aesthetic benefits of Canada becoming our 51st state.
Developer, you know, I'm a real estate developer at heart. When you get rid of that artificially drawn line, somebody drew that line many years ago with like a ruler, just a straight line right across the top of the country. When you look at that beautiful formation when it's together, I'm a very artistic person, but when I looked at that beauty, I said, that's the way it was meant to be.
It reminds me of another failed artist I read about in school, but I can't put my finger on it. Finger on it. Can't put my finger on it. In response, Carney put his Canadian foot down.
As you know from real estate, there are some places that are never for sale.
That's true.
We're sitting in one right now, you know, Buckingham Palace, that you visited as well.
That's true.
Having met with the owners of Canada over the course of the campaign last several months, it's not for sale, won't be for sale ever.
But never say never. Never say never.
What? Sorry, not sorry. First of all, every leader comes to the Oval, we get to see, like, their plan for how you deal with Trump. That was excellent. That was excellent. That was fucking smooth. He made him feel respected. He told him no. He did it by complimenting his home because he thinks of it as his. Mwah. You may think that the owners of Canada is a cute reference to the voters. It's not. Their names are Harold and Cynthia Bouchard, and they are the mild-mannered heirs to a beaver trap fortune. After the meeting, a reporter asked Carney this.
I was watching your face through the meeting in the Oval Office, and I wondered what was going through your mind when the president talked about erasing the artificial border.
Well, thank you for, I guess, for your question. I'm glad that you couldn't tell what was going through my mind.
But she really couldn't, because Carney had fully disassociated. Carney was actually thinking about how it makes no sense that in Raiders of the Lost Ark, when Indiana Jones realizes the Germans are digging in the wrong place, he just starts digging in the right place, even though they are surrounded by Germans. Let him right do it. It's dumb. What the fuck? Oh my God, guys, they're digging in the wrong place. Phew, let's come back in a few months. No, tonight. Leave it there. It's been there for 2,000 years. In other Trump real estate news, our big bad boy on Sunday declared that he wanted federal law enforcement agencies to reopen Alcatraz.
What the fuck?
Alcatraz is, I would say, the ultimate, right? Alcatraz, Sing Sing, and Alcatraz, the movies. It sort of represents something that's both horrible and beautiful and strong and miserable, weak. It's got a lot of qualities that are interesting.
One minor obstacle, Alcatraz hasn't been a functioning prison for 60 years and is currently a museum. Though if you're 17 years old and on a family trip to San Francisco with your parents, it sure can feel like a functioning prison. You want California to reopen Alcatraz? Bitch, we can't even reopen the Arclight. Yeah. The fuck? Didn't make any sense what happened to the Arclight. For people who don't live in Southern California, we have a beautiful theater called the Arclight, the Cinerama Dome. It's a big dome. And it closed, and not during the pandemic, and not even right after the pandemic. They just kind of gave up like 30 yards from the finish line and never been an explanation as to what happened. And it's never been reopened. It's just sitting there closed. Could have been seeing all kinds of movies there. Could have seen Thunderbolts Asterisk there. Who knows what it's about? But our creative boy was full of ideas on Sunday. In a separate post, Trump announced that he would direct officials to begin the process of imposing a 100% tariff on any movie produced outside the U.S. Congratulations to senior White House advisor Guy Branum, who pitched this idea as a joke last week on this show. It was so stupid, it was a funny way to end the show. What's a funny, stupid thing you can't put a tariff on but wish you could? Foreign films. And then Trump is like, I have an idea. What if he's listening? I'm the only one you can trust. Wrote Trump, the movie industry in America is dying a very fast death. Other countries are offering all sorts of incentives to draw our filmmakers and studios away from the United States. Hollywood and many other areas within the USA are being devastated. This is a concerted effort by other nations and therefore a national security threat. Look, we all are here in Los Angeles. We're alone together. We can admit he's cooking. He's also so close. It almost made sense, too. Like, I don't think Croatia is making it cheap to film a Wes Anderson movie so that they can do a 9/11. Trump was asked about the movie tariffs in front of a deafening helicopter.
Tariffs. Yeah, the movie tariffs, what they've done is other nations have been stealing the movies, the movie-making capabilities from the United States. And I said to a couple of people, what do you think? I've done some very strong research over the last week. And we're making very few movies now. Hollywood is being destroyed now.
So this is what it feels like when Trump speaks to your niche personal grievance. Stay strong, John. Democracy, Roe v. Wade. For a 22-episode season of television shot in Burbank. No! Focus! Keep it together, John. Turns out Trump's very strong research, and this is real, is a conversation with actor John Voight. Yes, Voight, who is one of Trump's ambassadors to Hollywood, along with Mel Gibson and William Foster, who is the character Michael Douglas played in the film Falling Down, met with Trump over the weekend at Mar-a-Lago. And in a video, Voight said he presented Trump with a plan to rescue Hollywood, though it seems like tariffs were not part of it.
My fellow Americans and my peers of Hollywood, I recently met with our president, Donald J. Trump, who loves the entertainment business, wants to see Hollywood thrive and make films bigger and greater than ever before, as he says, and see productions come back to American Hollywood.
Unfortunately, most of the plan is about developing what Voight calls the DCU, or the Deliverance Cinematic Universe. Not interested in that. He was in Deliverance. You guys know that. It's a weird movie to make into a universe because of what happens in it. Because of the horrible business inside of that movie. When asked about his Hollywood tariff plan, which made no sense and which he soon basically dropped, he blamed Gavin Newsom.
You have an incompetent, grossly incompetent governor that allowed that to happen. So I'm not just blaming other nations, but other nations, a lot of them, have stolen our movie industry. And I'm saying, if they're not willing to make a movie inside the United States, then we should have a tariff on movies that come in.
Continued Trump, look at Ratatouille. We have our own rats right here, and I bet they cook just as good. On Monday, Newsom proposed an alternative plan, a $7.5 billion federal tax credit to support the industry. Said Newsom in a statement, America continues to be a film powerhouse, and California is all in to bring more production here. Building on our successful state program, we're eager to partner with the Trump administration to further strengthen domestic production and make America film again. Come on, man. You don't have to do his little slogan. He gives you a noogie and you do his little slogan. At least Gretchen Whitmer got the money first. Get the money, then you could do the fucking slogan. As Americans began to feel the effects of Trump's tariffs, Trump switched to a defensive crouch, arguing that families will benefit from austerity even if they struggle in the short term.
I don't think a beautiful baby girl that's 11 years old needs to have 30 dolls. I think they can have 3 dolls or 4 dolls. They don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have 5.
5 pencils? What is she, a Rockefeller? Meanwhile, Mattel confirmed this week that the price of Barbies will spike because of the tariffs. In an effort to cut costs, the company announced that Malibu Barbie will temporarily be replaced by a Thousand Oaks Barbie. And get this, the Barbie Dreamhouse is going to become a Barbie ADU. Trump rejected the idea that the tariffs were negatively affecting the price of many items, despite reports that the cost of items like strollers and car seats were going up.
All costs are down. Everything is down, other than, as Tristan said, the thing that you carry the babies around in.
Said Elon Musk, they're called women. And they're more expensive now? Even the American versions? Last Monday, air traffic controllers at Philadelphia's radar center lost contact with aircraft arriving at Newark Airport, kicking off a ground stop and a days-long waterfall of delays and cancellations. So scary. Imagine dying in Newark. Almost as bleak as being alive in Newark. Thank you. The ground stop came after a serious equipment malfunction, which isn't that surprising. The agency has been perpetually maintaining equipment that in some cases dates to the 1950s. We're trying to land airplanes with the Joe Biden of radars. The radar keeps insisting it's fine and won't step aside. Feels like the radar isn't being shown all the data. After Pete Buttigieg posted about our ongoing transportation crisis this week, Transportation Secretary and former road rules contestant Sean Duffy tweeted, "We've achieved more in 100 days than Buttigieg and Biden achieved in 4 years. POTUS and I will continue the work of ripping out the Green New Scam and DEI for the American people." Hey, Sean, less typey-typey, more keepy-keepy the airplanes in the sky, okay? Secretary Duffy wasn't going to let the risk of more air disasters prevent him from having a little fun over the weekend when he tweeted this photo of himself holding a plate of tacos with the caption, "Nice to come home on a Friday night to home-cooked steak tacos after a long week working at DOT, hashtag Latina wife." Heart emoji, salsa dancer emoji. Straight marriage was so cool. That's awesome.
On Monday, Dudley went back to his home turf, Fox News, to reassure the nation that there was no real danger when Newark stopped being able to talk to the planes.
Now, were planes going to crash? No, they have communication devices. They can see other air traffic, like GPS, in the airplanes. But it's a sign that we have a frail system in place, and it has to be fixed.
But it's not at all guaranteed that the planes wouldn't crash. It's incredibly lucky that they didn't. You can only say they weren't going to because we're here in the future where they didn't. Hashtag Latina wife. The blackout was so stressful, the Air Traffic Controllers Union confirmed that multiple employees took trauma leave following the incident, adding to the delays at Newark. Sky death, they call it, when for a moment you pierce the veil and see into God's sky lounge. Also, none of you get any ideas about trauma leave. We're making podcasts. The worst thing that happens here is a drag queen cancels for the 1,000th time. While it was initially believed that the Newark gap in communication was 30 seconds, new information suggests air traffic controllers might have lost contact with pilots for as long as 90 seconds. An airplane can go over 10 miles in 90 seconds. In 90 seconds, you could make minute rice 1.5 times. You could have sex with enough time left over to make minute rice. And on Tuesday, NBC News reported that air traffic control had lost radio contact with aircraft going in and out of Newark at least 8 or 9 times in recent months. Going no contact, great for a breakup, terrible for airplanes. Spiraling, bad for both. A little champagne before noon, good for both. According to their source, a Newark airspace controller, in at least 2 instances since August, air controllers lost both radio and radar contact with aircraft landing at Newark, forcing them to land the plane with the most powerful instrument of all, prayer. Said the source, these planes with people, with lives in them, are flying, and no one is talking to them. They were flying in the dark. It was like a cone of silence. We couldn't hear them, but I'm sure they were calling us. Oh, is that why my pilot was screaming? I thought he just found out about how expensive dolls are now. On Tuesday, hashtag white husband Sean Duffy blamed the Biden administration for prioritizing woke instead of replacing the system themselves.
On top of that, they were focused on things like racist roads. They literally spent time concerned about the word cockpit and changing cockpit to flight deck. It's not funny. That's actually what they spent time on.
Two things can be true at the same time, Sean.
That does sound like us. I'm not gonna.
Unfortunately, overhauling the traffic control system requires money from Congress. Not saying cockpit is free, which is crazy because it's fun to say. And free. Cockpit. Trump, meanwhile, took time during his UK trade deal announcement to blame Pete Buttigieg for air safety issues and to take a swipe at him for being gay.
And when they took over, Buttigieg, who has no clue, you know, he drives to work on his bicycle with his, in all fairness, with his husband on the back, which is a nice, loving relationship. But he didn't have a clue. This guy didn't have a clue. And he's actually a contender for president. Between him and Crockett, you can have that party.
And we will. Trump's mind is interesting here. He wanted to get the bike in, and he wanted to get the gay in, so now they're riding the bike together. But it's pretty rich coming from Trump, when the only way he'd be able to ride a bike is if he was deployed by a drone onto a bike already in motion. And his wife pops up at the White House with the frequency of an older actress who plays a sitcom lead, sassy mother. We have a genuine problem that has gotten worse over decades. It's a failure of Democrats and Republicans over many administrations, including Trump. It will take time and effort and competence to fix it. It's absolutely true that you cannot lay what is happening at the feet of Sean Duffy, hashtag Latina wife. But when the news moves on and like the clapback phase is over, we can't count on these people to do the slow, hard, grinding work of fixing these problems already. Already, they've made it worse. According to the Washington Post, the FAA lost important career employees with vital institutional knowledge earlier this year due to DOGE cuts. Duffy and Elon Musk apparently got into an argument in the White House over it. As documented in the Times, Duffy said, "I have multiple plane crashes to deal with now, and you people want me to fire air traffic controllers." Trump, of course, chimed in with his solution, just hire geniuses from MIT. On Thursday, Duffy shared details about the overhaul, a 3 to 4 year plan to fix America's air traffic control system. If we don't actually accomplish the mission that we're announcing today, said Duffy, you'll see Newarks in other parts of the country. Just one big Newark, as far as the eye can see. Not on the radar system, of course, but out the little window. But until then, don't think of it as more chances of a crash. Think of it as more opportunities for miracles. Miracle on the Bayonne Bridge. Miracle on the Garden State Parkway. Miracles. You're gonna find out which pilots have the Sully gene. Speaking of believing in magic, Trump has nominated Dr. Casey Means, a wellness influencer who dropped out of her surgical residency program for U.S. Surgeon General. Means has no government experience, dropped out of her residency because she became disillusioned with traditional medicine, hawks various supplements and other products on her website, and has close ties to, of course, Health Secretary RFK Jr. But don't worry, she's a Libra. On Tuesday, the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration the go-ahead to enforce their trans military ban. Let that be a warning to transphobes everywhere. There are about to be thousands of trans people, the government trained to kill, out of uniform, using whatever bathroom they fucking want. And on the second day of the papal conclave, white smoke poured forth from the Sistine Chapel. A new pope is upon us. Can't believe the conclave ended in just a day. I bought so many conclave snacks. Now I'm just some idiot eating communion wafers and hummus for no reason. And for the first time in history, the Pope is an American. Yeah. USA, USA, USA. Not enough of you did it. Robert Francis Prevost from Chicago has taken the name Leo the 14th. Ite Ursi. That's Latin for go Bears. According to one of my writers, his Catholic boyfriend. Said the new pope, I'm the friggin' pope. Prevost is seen as forward-thinking on many issues and oversaw one of Francis's most progressive moves, adding 3 women to the council that chooses the church's bishops. He is, however, still conservative on most church matters and opposes women being ordained as deacons. Because he's not insane. But this just broke before we recorded. NBC News tracked down the new pope's crazy older brother. He is a wild son of a bitch. He's got, you know, look, he's the pope, but his brother, and you're just not gonna believe this freak. Leo's ass is toast. Let's take a look.
You said you spoke to him right before conclave?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what that conversation was like.
Really? First we do Wordle, because this is a regular thing, okay? Then we do Words with Friends. It's something to keep his mind off life in the real world. And then we talk about what's going on, and I said, well, do you have your red socks? That doesn't go over well all the time. And then just that kind of stuff, and I said, well, are you ready for this? I said, did you watch the movie Conclave so you know how to behave? And he had just finished watching the movie Conclave. So he knew how to behave.
It's just hitting me. The Pope, every day, does the Wordle. We're all doing the Wordle together. At some point in the last couple of weeks, the Pope got down to that last one, and he wasn't sure if it was whack or shack. And it was a fucking crapshoot, and he prayed. He said, I think it's probably shack. I don't think they're doing whack. Because of conclave, the Pope knew how to behave. He knew to pick up the turtles and put them back in the turtle area. He knew that the key to the conclave is gossiping with the boys. Then he got to the end and he's like, I gotta do what? American conservatives freaked out about Pope Leo immediately, with Laura Loomer declaring him a woke Marxist pope for retweeting a supportive message about George Floyd, which called for the end of hatred, violence, and prejudice. They were also mad that Prevost reposted Senator Chris Murphy, as far as we can tell, the first pope to do that, and shared an essay criticizing J.D. Vance's assertion that Catholics must love those closest to them more than others. Tweeted the future pope, J.D. Vance is wrong. Jesus doesn't ask us to rank our love for others. That's specifically why J.D. Vance joined Catholicism, though, to create a strict hierarchy of human beings where he is near the top. If he wanted to spread love everywhere, he'd be a Unitarian or a bisexual. Poor J.D. Vance. New pope, same old being hated by the pope. Time for J.D. Vance to reset the sign. It's been 0 days since the pope fucking hated you. On Tuesday, a fighter jet worth $67 million fell off the USS Harry S. Truman and plopped into the sea. It was the third time this specific aircraft carrier lost a fighter jet in recent month, and the fourth major disaster if you count a collision in February. For God's sake, Hegseth, turn the woke back on. You think the Navy can operate without woke? Get real. Look at those little outfits. When reached for comment, the Navy said defensively, it'll be fine, while slowly lowering the plane into a circus tent filled with rice. Over in tech news, OpenAI founder Sam Altman rolled out the new Crypto Orb, a spherical device that scans a user's retina and creates a digital ID verifying they aren't a bot or AI program. Also, it tells you when and how you'll die. It wasn't even designed to do that. It's just kind of a fun bonus it figured out on its own. We have a clip. No, thank you. I'm all set. Thank you. No. Look, I'm not a strong or big man. I'm not a particularly brave man. But let the historical record show I was dubious of the crypto orbs. Here's Altman fielding questions about his new device.
What happened to your eyes?
Where are we going? We won't need eyes to see.
It is Event Horizon. It is. A movie that fucked me up. Because I was too young. It was on television, and I was too young, and I wasn't ready for Event Horizon. You think you're going to a little science fiction romp in space, the ship goes to literal hell. You think, oh, wow, it's the guy from Jurassic Park, and he's going back. He's going into space. That's exciting. I can handle that. Cannot. Cannot handle it. At a recent party in San Francisco, Altman invited attendees to scan their retinas in exchange for his cryptocurrency named World. The event was a smash success, save for the one awkward moment when the orb started screaming about a coming American pope and a darkness that would envelop the world. But somebody was like, hey, crypto orb, play Fleetwood Mac. And the party was back on track. In non-orb news, in case you were wondering why Marvel's Thunderbolts had an asterisk in the name, the studio spoiled the film by swapping out their billboards, revealing that the Thunderbolts are in fact the new Avengers. In case you weren't wondering why Marvel's Thunderbolts had an asterisk in its name, congratulations, it sounds like you have a rich and fulfilling life. Speaking of a rich and fulfilling life, Bravo announced a new addition to the Real Housewives pantheon, the Real Housewives of Rhode Island. You laugh, but the first time somebody hurls a bowl of piping hot clam chowder at a Pilates instructor, you'll all be on board. But there's no cream in this, says Jasmine, the Pilates instructor, because you got Rhode Island style, bitch. The Golden Globes added a best podcast category for 2026. And just to get out ahead of it now, I'm not jealous. I'm happy for them. I think they deserve it. It's a great show. And finally, the world's tallest and shortest dogs, a pony-sized Great Dane named Reginald and a palm-sized Chihuahua named Pearl, met for a playdate arranged by Guinness World Records. Reginald soon received a second Guinness honor, history's fastest time for eating a Chihuahua. Nah, they had a good time. Congrats to Reginald and his new hashtag Latina wife. Coming up next, it's Carrie Kennedy Silver. She brings the comedy gold. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Armra Colostrum.
We're always talking guts on this show. So why not give your guts its best foot forward? Its best food forward with Armora Colostrum. Probiotics and other supplements are touted as a gut health solution, but most products on the market are dead before they even reach your gut. Armor and Colostrum naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system and optimizes your whole body microbiome, which helps guard against irritants that can trigger digestive issues and compromise your immune system. Research has shown that colostrum helps to enhance nutrient absorption. Armor Colostrum can help stabilize blood sugar levels, modulate hormones, ignite your metabolism. Colostrum bioactives have also been shown to reactivate hair follicle stem cells, activate collagen production, promote hair growth, enhancing skin radiance. You hear that? Radiance. Plus, we've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmor.com/loveit or enter love it to get 15% off your first order. That's TRYARMRA.com/loveit. And we're back. Please welcome to the stage, she's not the president, but she did once head up the state, it's the phenomenal Carrie Kenny Silver. Hi. Thank you for being here. So nice to meet you.
Thank you for having me.
So you star in Tina Fey's new series, The Four Seasons. Your character is a woman who's about to start a new chapter after decades of marriage, whether she wants to or not. As somebody who's about to get married for the first time, this won't happen to me, right?
Oh, why? No, why no, John? Why would it? I mean, it happens. Listen, this lady, you'll see. We'll watch the show. Roll the clips. And by clips, I mean the whole season. No, I mean, no, it's not going to happen to you. Because, listen, this, it's a cautionary tale that after 20 years of marriage, which is this, where I currently am in my marriage, 20 years, yeah, there's work to be done. You can't just sit back and expect it's just going to run like a well-oiled machine if you don't oil it. So I am giving a life talk. It's on love and marriage.
So you've been married for 20 years.
I've been married 20 years.
So my friends have been married a long time, and they're all saying that watching Four Seasons is great. But it, like, it hits because it's, like, dealing with stuff that happens in long relationships. And they're all like, oh, you're so lucky you get to watch it early in a relationship, because you'd be like, this wouldn't be us. It could never be us.
There are many cautionary tales in the show. But also, I think you're going to find pieces of your life already in there. Everyone has said to me who's watched the series, I feel very seen, but not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, I watched the first episode, and I love a show. I love just watching well-observed couples doing normal couple stuff. I just do. And it captures a bunch of different ways you'll see couples. And I like that there's a gay couple, because I always just feel like as I have a certain like gay chauvinism, which is that, like, on some fundamental level, I do believe men and women truly hate each other. And that I do. Like that. And then, like, it just actually makes no sense. Like, none of you should be together. You're not compatible fundamentally. You never were.
I'm going to call my husband really quick.
Yeah. But, you know, the gay couples, things aren't always...
They're not always peachy.
Not always peachy.
I saw La Cage aux Folles.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember it.
I saw The Birdcage.
Oh, there we... That's what I meant to say.
So, your character gets assigned strawberries.
Yes.
Because at some point the character wore something with strawberries.
Yes.
And then you became a strawberry mom because people thought you liked strawberries and bought a bunch of strawberry stuff. In your real life, was there something you were accidentally assigned?
No, not really, but it happened to my grandmother. And when she was older... It was owls for her. So it was just very easy to buy for her because it was like, of course, we'll get grandma an owl dish towel. She'll love it. And by the time she passed away, she had every surface was covered with owls because this woman lived a very long time. But I found out towards the end, didn't like owls, never liked owls, hated owls, in fact. But same thing happened as happens to my character Anne. Someone gave her something. Of course, she's not an asshole. And she went, I love it. And they're like, Well, wait till next birthday. And well, then the 40 or 50 after that.
I also do think it's really interesting because this is an adaptation of something from the 70s or 80s.
From 1981.
1981.
Yeah.
And I do think there's something important about the distinction between like the way boomers dealt with their shit and the way Gen X millennials deal with their shit. And there's something about like, no, we communicate. We've cracked it. Unlike our parents, then you watch this, you're like, you didn't crack anything.
No, you didn't. You didn't crack shit.
You didn't crack shit.
But Tina Fey's writing is so, it is like a laser. And she has these like observations that are so, you go, why has no one ever said that out loud before? That's so completely accurate. And it can be about something so minute.
So you were, as most of the nerds in our audience know, you got your start in the influential sketch group, The State.
Yes.
Featured in a new documentary called Long Live the Saints. It's at Tribeca in June. It's almost 40 years after it's founded. Of the Saints' 11 original members, who do you think has aged the worst?
Depends on the day. Sometimes it's me.
No.
Well, listen, I'm wearing, you know, this doesn't just happen. This is 7 hours in the makeup chair. I'm wearing 4 wigs.
We're going to put out the time release because we're going to do one of those time release things. Like, yeah. We made you a goblin from Game of Thrones, or what's the one with the orcs, the orc one?
Mork from Ork.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Gollum.
Yeah.
That's what I look like in the morning. Just ask my husband.
We've had your State co-star Thomas Lennon on this show, and I think it's amazing how well he's hidden his cruelty and vindictive nature from the public eye. Just an absolutely horrible...
Talk about Gollum.
Just a horrible monster of a person.
Yeah.
Here's some quotes from Thomas Lennon backstage that we heard. These are real quotes that he said to us in seriousness. Yeah. And I would love to get your reaction to them.
Mm-hmm.
You call this hummus?
Yeah, that sounds like Tom.
I smell a Jew.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't love the Jews.
If I don't have a mint tea in my hand in the next 5 minutes, you'll be calling Madison 911.
He says that all the time.
I thought this was interesting. I moved to Wisconsin to get away from all the taquerias.
Oh, yeah. But that's just because he has a digestion issue.
That's a digestive thing. Yeah. I thought it was a race thing, but it's a but it's mostly a digestive thing.
Yeah. It's a dairy issue.
He said to me, "You look like you've eaten dog meat before." What kind of insult is that? What kind of person says that?
I don't know that that's necessarily an insult. He might be giving you a compliment that you look like you're like an adventurous person.
Oh, I've taken it the wrong way.
I like to look on the bright side. I have been around this guy since I was 16.
That must
so
be
have
how
to
you make
thick
it
skin
work.
And you just look open mind.
You got to have an open mind. He said, "How long is this going to take? I'm parked in the intersection."
Yeah.
That's crazy.
These are classic Leninisms.
So, what would you say to somebody trying to get started in comedy now versus what it was like when you got started?
Well, I don't really know what I would say to people except make your own work. I mean, that's what it's always been. That's what it was for us. It's just the vehicle to make the work was different. We used to do it on Abacus. You know, now you have these fancy teletypewriters.
Yeah, no, that's amazing because you're doing all the math just by hand to make the State. And people don't realize that. It's a lot of computations.
It's a lot of computations.
It's a lot of computation. Hidden Figures was I think that was about the State.
That's right. It was a documentary. And sometimes if we want to make jokes real fast, we'll rub 2 sticks together.
Wow.
You just better hope it's not a damp day. No, you know what? Speaking of Alan Alda,
yeah.
Which you weren't.
We were. No, actually, we were.
Aren't we always all up here speaking of or thinking of Alan Alda? No, the original Four Seasons movie was written and directed by Alan Alda, and you were asking earlier about the guys. I haven't totally lost it. This is a thread that I'm expertly weaving in front of your eyes.
And you know what? I see the tapestry.
Abacus is going, and I'm going to get to the point. No, he called me and said, "My grandson is graduating from university and he wants to get into acting. I don't know what to tell him to do anymore because the business is vastly different from when he started. Would you sit with him?" I said, "Oh, would be honored, of course. So I drove to lunch with him, not thinking anything. Thought, oh, it's going to be lovely. I'm going to meet Alan's grandson. And I got to lunch and I sat at the table and I was like, shit, I don't know what to tell you either. Because I guess if you would like to follow an example, get a group of idiots together in college and then get your own TV show. Like that doesn't happen, but make your own work. Now there's the YouTube. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it.
All the kids are doing it.
That's where I get my workout and recipe tips.
Yes,
but exactly. Also comedy.
But also comedy. There's such thing as comedy recipes.
Carrie.
What?
You've been a sweet-faced staple in Hollywood film and TV since the early 1990s. It's time to test our audience mastery of your IMDb page in a segment we call Was I in This?
Okay.
Here's how we're going to play it today. We're going to try an experimental version, which is you're all going to play together, okay? And you're just going to yell true or false. All right? Let's kick it off. Carrie was only one of two original women members of the state alongside Wendy McLennan Covey. False. You were the only female original founding member of the state. That's a cute pic.
I love that you cropped all the cigarettes out of that photo.
Yeah, we're like Spielberg taking the guns and cigarettes out of E.T.
Yeah.
Because
E.T. was a heavy smoker.
He was why do you think he had that leathery skin? You don't just get that skin.
Think about it.
You talked in the Last Laugh pod about having a more masculine energy than some of the men in the state. Do you think that energy has been a strength?
Well, out of context, that sounds curious. I believe the original question in that podcast was, what was it like being the only woman in the group? And my point always was, we just saw ourselves as this sort of, amorphic group of comedy juice. And so I just happened to be a girl. But, you know, I played guys, and I still do, and they play women. And so it wasn't like, oh, guys, the girl's here, you know? Well, at least I hope it wasn't like
that's
that.
That's what Thomas said. He said it was like that? He said, have you ever met the girl?
God, I really thought I knew him till tonight. It's over. I FaceTimed him all the way here. That's true.
Really?
Yes, yes.
So you're still that close?
Yes.
Oh, what'd you FaceTime about?
He was having a glass of wine. We were talking about the Four Seasons, and we were talking about how excited we are for the state documentary premiere at Tribeca. Cool.
You know what I realize as I get older is that, like, one of the great parts, maybe the greatest part of getting older, is old friends.
Yeah.
There's no replicating it when you're young. You can't understand it when you're young. Yeah. But to have a friend for 40 years is an extraordinary thing.
It's extraordinary. And to also still really, truly like each other and want to work together. It really is, it is not lost on me. I have a 19-year-old son, so I'm watching him sort of, all of the kids, all the state kids are about the age or older than when we all met. I met Tom at 16, my son's 19, and it's crazy to look at this young person and think, God, I was that when we met and said, hey, let's be friends forever and always work together, and then we did. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's cool. Do you want to do your next one?
Yeah, I do. My character married serial killer Craig Pullen moments before his lethal injection and may have been impregnated with his child on Reno 911.
What?
That's right, people. My character, Trudy Weigel, was wed to serial killer Craig Pullen seconds before his demise. There's a photo of me making out with the heir because he had passed away.
Hello, Reno 911. Are there any more Reno 911s on the horizon? What do we do?
I will never say never about Reno.
Yeah.
Niecy Nash seems to be the one that sort of rallies the group every time. And we were in a press line for something. It was unrelated to Reno. She was ahead of me. And she sort of winked at me during one of her interviews and passed on. And I got to that interview and they said, so Niecy just announced that the Reno 911's coming back. I was like, it is? Better pull out my polyester.
Next up, Carrie played Jerusha Sturgis, wife of Glenn Sturgis, played by Mark McKinney.
True. This is true. I play... Oh.
Only some of you guessed. Cowards. Mark is also a beloved figure in sketch comedy because he was in Kids in the Hall. What's the, like, how do you think about the Kids in the Hall energy versus the state energy?
Well, we're very, we intermingle these days. So there's, you know, back in the day, I think we used to sort of think to ourselves like, oh, those guys, like we were so, just because we were in separate groups, like, well, you know, rival comedy groups.
Like the there Sharks was never, and the Jets.
That's it. But we had numbers on our side. There was never any.
You could have beat. I think in a fight, in part, just mostly because of the numbers, you could have taken the Kids in the Hall guys.
I think it's not too late for that. And I think we could monetize it.
I think there have been worse ideas
right?
pitched on this show
yeah.
than a state versus Kids in the Hall
Smackdown.
Fight. Yeah. And I do think I would like to see, it has to be as the Chicken Woman. I think the fight needs...
Oh, no, everybody's their most iconic character.
Yeah, for right. sure.
Yeah.
yeah.
So Louie is dipping his balls into Mark McKinney's crushing heads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
That's great.
That'd be fun.
I played Paco's wife in Wet Hot American Summer.
False. Got it.
That is a trick question. I did play Paco's wife. It was filmed... In the scene when Joe Latruglio steals the motorcycle at the campground, David Wayne and I, or Paco and I, were inside that tent. And we came out of the tent and had an uncomfortably long conversation about how Paco needed that motorcycle to get to his university where he was studying dentistry. And it went on and on and on the whole time. I was thinking, this is gonna get cut, and it did.
Let's do one more. You want to do the last one?
Yes. The last one.
Yeah, we
I played Pam on Ellen DeGeneres' groundbreaking 1994 sitcom, Ellen.
True or false? True. False.
Trick question. I played Pam in Ellen's slightly less groundbreaking, but equally hilarious 2001 sitcom, The Ellen Show.
Now, I wanted to ask about this because I heard that, you gave Ellen DeGeneres some questionable advice when you were working together. Would you tell us what that was?
So Ellen and I became very close while we were filming that show. I adored her, worked with her and Martin Mull and Cloris Leachman. And I mean, it was just like a masterclass being on that show. And we did not get picked up, and it was very sad. And at the end, Ellen said, you know, she confided in me, I'm thinking of doing a daytime talk show. And I was like, well, that's not a good idea. I mean, for real, I thought, that's a real loser of an idea. And so don't ever, ever take advice from me, really on anything, I think,
well,
ever.
Because she went on to do a talk show, famously.
She did?
Yeah, no, it was like a big thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was like her next thing.
Oh my God, I'm gonna TiVo it.
You gotta TiVo. Ba-boom, ba-boom.
Is it on Quibi?
You can Quibi it. You can Quibi it. Yeah. You have to watch it in little bits.
Okay. On my phone.
Yeah, on your phone in little bits. It's great online for Chipotle, okay. But other than that, it's okay. Kind of a weird length. thank you, Gary. The Four Seasons is on Netflix now, and Long Live the State premieres at the Tribeca Festival this June. Next up, he's got the magic, and me, it's Zach Zimmerman.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by OneSkin. Did you know that by the time summer starts, your skin is already in defense mode? Think about it. Sun exposure, chlorine, dry air from AC, they all wear down your skin barrier, leaving your complexion dull, dehydrated, and more sensitive. Today's sponsor, OneSkin, has everything you need to keep your skin healthy, hydrated, strong all summer long. Their secret, a proprietary peptide called OS1. It's the first peptide scientifically proven to reduce the damaged cells that weaken your skin barrier and accelerate aging. Their moisturizers and sunscreens don't just treat dry skin and irritation on the surface. They go deeper, helping restore your skin's health at the cellular level. And honestly, it's the perfect time to reset before all of the summer skin stressors really kick in. The right moisturizer and SPF can make all the difference. Try OneSkin with 15% off your first order. Use code LOVEIT at oneskin.co. I'm a huge fan of OneSkin, and it's really important to get your routine right. Try OneSkin. Once you get in the habit of taking care of your skin at night, making sure you're moisturizing, making sure in the morning you're putting on sunscreen. You'll look better. You'll feel better. It'll become a nice part of your day. That's what I like about OneSkin. OneSkin was founded in 2016 by an all-woman team of scientists with PhDs in skin regeneration, stem cell biology, immunology, and bioinformatics. I don't know what that is, but it sounds scientific. OneSkin believes the purpose of skin is not just to improve how you look, but to optimize your skin. Well, I think the purpose of skin is to keep your body's bits from falling out into the sidewalk. Oh, the purpose of skin care. I get it. We'll leave this in. This is all good stuff. It's got to help you. You know, got to optimize your skin's biology. That's the purpose of skincare at the cellular level, so it's more resilient to the aging process. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company by focusing on the cellular aspect of aging. OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer for a limited time. You can try OneSkin with 15% off using code LOVEIT at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code LOVEIT. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support this show. Tell them we sent you. Give your skin the scientifically proven gentle care it deserves with OneSkin. That's OneSkin.co. Code love it.
And we're back! Got a muscle in my back. Joining Carrie and I now, his special is called Surprise Me, but you can see him coming a mile away. Please welcome to the stage, it's Zach Zimmerman. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, it's a surprise. Hi, Zach.
Hello.
Hi.
You're so cute.
I changed in the back seat.
There's been a wardrobe change.
Yes. Got to keep them guessing.
Got to keep it. Surprise. Zach, you're here first and foremost to talk about the outfit. I'm sorry to say. We have to talk about it.
And it's not the one I'm wearing.
No.
I don't think.
For those who don't know, Zach made literal headlines around the world this year with his taste in clothing. Can you explain to the audience what happened?
I talk about this against my will, but I was in Florida and I matched with a guy on Hinge and he asked me what I was going to wear to the date because it's Florida and it's warm outside. You don't know if you wear shorts or not. He's like, what's the vibe? What's the fit vibe? I don't want to look like a goober. And so I sent him a video of myself. I sent a picture of what I was going to wear. And then I made a little get ready with me video because I thought it'd be cute. Like, get ready with me to go on our date. And see, we're getting an awe. That's my one true love in the audience right there. And then after I sent it, I was like, it'd be so funny if he canceled. Like, it'd be literally objectively hilarious. And then 7 minutes later, he was like, I don't think we're compatible.
let's roll the clip.
Yeah, you might side with him.
Get ready with me to go on a date. I don't know, it's kind of giving. Maybe fold it down a little. How much leg do we show? I do have an adorable sweater.
See, I could have worn this.
Too warm for that. It's giving goober!
Oh!
So,
and wait, to be clear.
And then dick pic.
Yeah. Oh, lead with the gold, Carrie. The hilarious thing is we're in an active text thread and he's 7 minutes later is like, hey, as if we haven't spoken in 2 years. I think it was ChatGPT that he like wrote that with.
Oh, like he said to ChatGPT,
hey,
I'm disgusted.
How to let this guy down.
I think it was I don't know.
Of course,
you'd wear that out and about.
You were so sweet and adorable in that video.
Thank you.
And here's what I genuinely, like, first of all, I saw it. It's fucking hilarious. I'm sorry, but it is. And it made me so, I had a genuine realization when I saw your video. I did. I had, like, this. It's a small one, but
like,
it was.
I'm gay.
I think I might be gay.
I think I'm a gay man now.
Yeah, you've been made gay by this. Welcome.
I knew it.
Welcome. Us and Barry Diller.
Welcome to the revolution.
Pretty neat.
Now the dick pic comes out.
But what I was
not
thinking
the pic,
about
just
is
the dick.
Sometimes intimacy leads to sexual attraction. And sometimes sexual attraction leads to intimacy. But this, what I found so sweet about this is you were sort of being intimate.
Mm.
There was an intimacy to what you're doing, but like I don't know what app this was, your Tinders, your Grinders, your OK's Cupid.
Hinge.
But it seems to be a medium where it's just about sexual attraction has to lead to intimacy, but you can't have it the other way around. And that made me sad for people that are trying to find intimacy on dating apps.
You don't think it was the shorts, the socks shouldn't have been. I was told last year the socks, high socks were in, and then apparently they're not.
So, I mean, if you really want to get into it, I actually think the socks are a red herring on the outfit. The socks are great. You're right. And by the way,
amen.
Did you have to go through a process of realizing, like, I was always wearing, like, the very low socks.
Yes, we were taught not show the socks.
If you show socks, you should fucking, you're a failure.
Yes.
You're an embarrassing
This is a generational
coup.
Thing.
Yes, well, yeah. Because the previous generation had the high socks and we had the lower socks.
Oh, we're playing it again. Good. Yeah. Just keep that on a loop. Going.
But it took me my brain a beat to actually start seeing the higher socks as better. But now I do.
Things we were mocked for as kids, being gay, wearing pants that don't fit, are now cool.
But look, I mean, it matches. You don't look like a lunatic.
Thank you. Actually, this is the anatomy of the outfit is quite beautiful.
It
the
is.
Socks don't perfectly match. One of them has Bert and Ernie on it because my friend works on Sesame Street.
Oh, this
the
is
others
getting
don't.
Worse and
my
worse.
My mom bought me these shorts.
Stop.
So when someone online was like, "Did your mom dress you?" Yes.
And my dead grandma knit the shorts.
Yes. And the shoes were from her, too. They were on clouds.
Also, P.S., your house is rad. Like, this guy missed out.
That's the ultimate flex, not my house.
Even better.
Jack Kerouac's house. I'm at a writing residency in Florida. He lived there for a year with his mom, and they turned his house into a writing residency.
Shut
up. That's
it.
Jack Kerouac's house?
Yeah.
Who is this fucking asshole?
Fuck
Let's
this
go
guy.
Find him. Let's go find him. But, like, that was... What was your experience of the rejection?
Pain. But also, I was like, this is gold. I called a friend. I was like, hey, this kind of hurts. And they're like, he's dumb. And then I was like, this is objectively funny. And so I'll post it online. And when I did, I thought people would laugh. Like, ha, you got a date canceled. But they sided with him and thought the outfit was terrible. And so the headlines were like, comedian in disgusting ensemble gets what he deserves. Sites you didn't know existed, Daily Dot and stuff that shouldn't be.
Well, they invented a couple new websites to talk about this.
They're like, getaclue.org.
But look, on the bright side, it is going to be the number one selling Halloween costume.
Someone did say gay Halloween costume idea this.
Yeah.
I haven't worn it since, but I still own all the pieces. I threw the sushi.
Oh, I just thought you might have returned some of it to Kohl's.
No, because if it's on the sale rack, you can't bring it back.
It was always
it was
all
clearance.
Sales final.
It was clearance.
They're hurting right now. Their CEO just did some nasty things.
Oh. Well, that's a lot to think about.
A way to bring it down.
Yeah. Well, actually, he just gave money to someone he was fucking, I think.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But
that's called
really,
a business
really...
transaction.
What?
That's just called a business transaction.
But what I loved about this, when I hit, that was the first draft of the video. One, I think it's so funny to make a get ready with me for your own date. And I was like, this is me in a nutshell. If he rejects it, and this was my first date in like 6 months. I haven't gone on any
but see,
sense. I was like, let me be who I am.
But see, that's like, this is what I wanted to ask you about because it's like, this.
I can't.
We can't.
Carrie's heart's breaking.
But we're having the same reaction, which is, you on some intellectual level understood when you sent this that I am great. And if someone doesn't appreciate this, they're not the right person. But that can't be how it feels, even if you know intellectually it's
yes.
true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The actual, someone's
okay.
been through therapy.
Let me ask you this.
You have to, you know it and you have to feel it.
Yeah.
I'm still, I haven't cried about this.
It's we're going to do it now. No, we're getting there.
Okay.
If this had happened in person, would it have been worse? If you had shown up at the bar.
I don't think he
would have. No, but if he had.
Oh.
And he walked in the door.
Yeah. I really want to imagine this.
And he saw you. I'm trying to get it out of him. We're going to work through this tonight. Would and he had said to your, like, I don't think this is, like, if he had done a, like, I don't think this is going to work
down.
Out. Well, yeah, he's got to see the socks. That would have hurt more.
Oh, yeah.
So,
because then it's like you're smelling me. You're
Oh, he's smelling you.
That's what
he
dating
in
is.
My scenario that he wasn't smelling you.
Oh,
but
wait, Zach, what do you think dating is exactly?
So.
What do you think dating is? Go back. What is it about
it's
smelling?
It's the smell, right? You know, within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, there's pheromones. The same.
Wait, everyone is agreeing.
You're like.
So you guys are just walking out around places smelling
not
people?
Not consciously, but it's like pheromones are.
Carrie, I didn't like the shape of you guys there.
Yeah. Wow.
No, she's one of us now.
Oh, one of us.
Shape of us. I mean, all right. I mean, I miss this boat. My husband and I, we didn't walk around smelling each other.
But something now you know is smell.
Oh, I do. All of them.
That's the beauty of a 20-year relationship.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Years 1 to 2, they smell great.
Yeah, then, woo, they start to decay.
But you haven't dated, you haven't done an online date since then.
No, I thought the obvious end of this is I find true love from this, but
right.
That has not happened.
Well, it's not over yet.
That's beautiful. Oh.
That would have been weird.
I caught
think of the Daily Dot headline tomorrow.
Carrie gives up and comer mouth. Wait, I need to make fun of you.
Oh.
Sorry, do we have time for that
yeah.
segment? It's Zach brings up that John Lovett got voted first off on Survivor a year and a half ago.
It was less than a year ago, but the...
you filmed it.
What?
Yeah. No, this is the 1 year anniversary.
This is a real thing?
Does your
thing?
Body remember the trauma?
I'm getting... Because all the people in my season were texting about it was 1 year ago today.
You're lying.
No, I'm telling you the honest to God
Wait,
truth.
Wait, this happened?
It happened. Well, this is what I was going to... This is how... I actually was going to ask you a question about it.
No, but they're here. But all of them are here.
They know where their bread is buttered. But no, I was. And the reason I was reminded of this is because I feel like there's like owning something, which is what I've done about getting voted out first. Then there's intellectually owning it.
Oh.
And then there's really owning it.
Have you felt it?
Oh, yeah. And the answer is it's a work in progress.
You were played hard by a big move from Andy. It was not you.
No, it was I had bad. Sometimes people go home first because they should not be there. Sometimes they get bad luck. I'm in the bad luck.
Sometimes they're Mike White.
Sometimes, well, Mike White made it. Mike White.
He was fine all three.
He made it far.
He made it really far. But if he had basically, if they had lost that first challenge, he was already in. He was in trouble.
Yep.
If we had won that first challenge, I could have gotten a purchase. I couldn't get purchase.
Oh,
I couldn't get.
God,
couldn't get, my, couldn't
this
get a
show
foothold.
Is really bumming me out tonight. That's real. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for both of you.
Did you?
It's going to get better. The wise old crone says
better.
It's going to get better.
You actually can't say that. That's our phrase.
Tom Lennon has been called for me?
No, it
oh.
gets better.
Oh, I thought wise old crone.
Wise old crone.
No. Wise old crone.
It's a slur.
Please welcome the wise old comedy crone.
Zach. You named your comedy special Surprise Me after the Dunkin' Donuts app Surprise Me option where the Dunkin' Donuts employees choose what flavor of donut you get. What is wrong with you? Pick a donut flavor.
I enjoy randomness and life having a little joy in it.
Here, sure, except it's you're assuming it's random, but they got donuts to move.
I know.
Never get the seafood special, my friend. All right? The seafood special is the surprise me
right.
of the restaurant, right? And somewhere in that kitchen is a little chalkboard, and it's like, we got fucking trout to move.
Move
the clams,
the trout.
The clams are bad.
The clams
get
are
them
bad.
Out.
No Sunday night seafood special.
I found when you order it, it tells the team there, it says assorted. It doesn't even say surprise. They're getting a receipt that's like, pick an assorted donut.
Well, that's an interesting question is can you have an assorted
assortment of one?
Where N equals one. N equals two, maybe, but N equals three, sure, but N equals one,
this
assorted?
Reminded me of another thing I needed to flag. Earlier when you played the true or false game, you had a happy face on true and a sad face on false, and that's not necessarily directly correlated. Why were you happy? Why was the TV happy when true things were said and sad when false things were said?
I think it was happy when true things were true and false things are false. It is sad when false things were true and true things were false.
Oh, beautiful.
We can all agree that dating apps drain the mystery out of human quest for love, but that's not the only part of life that could use a pleasant shock or two. Zach and Carrie, I'd like your thoughts on which human moments should be a surprise in a segment we're calling On the Right Side of Mystery.
Oh.
Oh.
Should it be a surprise who is going to be at a party? Should you be able to find out who is attending a dinner party?
Oh, I have such strong feelings about this.
Speak.
I do want to know. And I over-explain. This is going to come as a surprise to you. But I over-explain to people what they're walking into in my home. You're coming over for coffee. I'm going to be there. My son is out. My husband is at work. Here's what we might have. Have you eaten? Would you like me to have something ready for you to eat? I like information. How long am I have the rest of the afternoon open, or I have an hour. I hate going to things and it's like, oh, and here's these 40 people that, and I'm not prepared. I didn't bring the thing. I'm not wearing the thing. I don't like it.
You're not wearing.
Good night. Well, no, because I thought I was just coming over for pizza and everyone's in dresses and what is everyone doing here? Yep. I didn't know. I would have worn pumps.
I agree. 1,000%. And I think Partyful, do you know the Partyful app? Has that reached you? It's a way to know.
I live out in the sticks.
It's a way to know who all. It's a way to know who I think the phrase is who all gonna be there.
Oh, mom and them.
It's an app where it shows the guest list. It
shows you're not kidding.
Yes. No, it's real.
What's it called?
Partyful.
Partyful.
Yeah, with one L.
Oh, I'm so old.
And then you can also see how many people are coming to your gathering, because the worst is you invite 100 people and 3 people show up.
Yes.
This lets you know, hey, 50 people said yes, so then you know 3 people are going to show up.
Oh, no. Oh, see, this could backfire. Oh, God, tonight is really upsetting me.
But
go on.
But you do want one surprise person. You want a little.
Oh, sure, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But I just don't want to show up and it's, you know.
You want to wear the right thing. Be ready for the right length of time.
You're understanding.
Empty stomach, full stomach.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to know what we're eating. Like, if friends are invited, if I'm going to meet up with friends for dinner at their house, if they invite me over, that's lovely. I want to know a number of people.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Are we talking about just us? Is there going to be other guests?
Yes.
How many guests? What are the odds that I'm at a side of the table with nobody I know? But even more importantly than that, I would like to know what we're eating, because this is going to sound ungrateful. A dinner party is a restaurant where you can only order one thing and you can't send it back. And so it's and you have to bring something. So you're still in a sense paying for dinner. You have to bring a bottle of wine. Sure. So you're basically, whatever the cost of a bottle of wine is, that's the price of this restaurant.
Yeah. I brought a friend to what I thought was a more the merrier thing. It's a seated dinner. Oh. There's not enough food for him to sit at. And that hurt us. I bring the surprise sometimes.
Sometimes you are the surprise you want to see in the world.
That's kind of fun.
Well, if the friend had been clear.
What is this?
It's like a donut purse that you put around
That's so nice. And it looks like there's playing cards in there.
Yeah, there's Luke Babylon Christian Magician playing cards.
Well, that
makes
sense.
Especially present. I play a character who has he's a Christian magician.
Hell yeah.
You can
Ta-da,
throw it away.
He is
I
risen.
See it in the trash Aww. Later.
No, I like it. I'm keeping it. It's a lovely gift. There's also the just issue, like some a dinner party, sometimes it's like, oh, everybody come over at 6. Bitch, what time are we eating?
Yes.
Ooh. And like, I'm fine. Just tell me when. Because I know that when I like I like cooking more and more, and I'm getting better at it. And I really, when I say like, hey, come over at 7, we're going to eat, we're going to sit down at 7:30 or whatever, 6, come to 7, I really fight to hit that time.
Yes.
And you never do.
No.
You're always 15, 20 minutes late. But are you going to be close? Are you going to get that food in on the table on time?
I eat most of my meals alone for this very reason.
Yeah.
Oh, too much empathy. That made it.
I fully agree with you.
Would you like to know the manner of your death?
Oh, no. Well, do you know it? Is that what this is?
There's only one way he can know it, and
this is fucked up.
Manner or date and time? I guess it said manner.
Well, I think
don't you hate when people ask qualifying questions of the hypothetical instead of just playing with the hypothetical?
Well, no, actually, I enjoy when people question the hypothetical because I often do that. Like, because somebody would be like, who's one person you'd want to have dinner with living or dead? And it's like, well, if they're dead...
I don't want to have dinner with a corpse.
But or more Carrie to the point,
Kane, dead.
Explain to me what it's like for them to be alive again. What? What is... Because, like, are they alive, like, in the middle of what they were doing, what they're famous for? Right? Like, I want to meet the Wright brothers.
Do they have a bullet hole in their head?
Right, right. Yeah. Are they screaming because they just died?
Right.
And are like, where is my family? It's like, oh, they died 150
years ago. And they're like,
you
said dinner was at 7, and it's 7:15.
I don't care who's at dinner. Right. No.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know. Yeah. It's a plane crash. I was hooking up with a guy once and I was like, I'm afraid of flying because I feel like I'm going to die in a plane crash. He stops kissing me and goes, you do die in a plane crash.
Listen, yes. You got to get off these apps, sweetie. This is
we got to get you off.
Troublesome.
Hey, we got to get you off these apps.
I stopped paying for them recently.
Listen, you don't die in a car, in a plane crash.
Freudian slip.
Sorry, I saw John's card, so I know how you die. But it's not a car accident either.
Show me hers.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, it's gastrointestinal.
She said she doesn't want to know. Oh. It is, but I will say it is gastrointestinal.
Listen,
the rest will keep
anyone
a mystery.
Has seen my diet. I just ate handfuls of gummy worms back there. It probably is gastrointestinal, and it might be tonight.
Oh, do you think people should? Do you want to know the sex of your baby before the baby's born?
I don't plan on having children.
My ovaries dried up a long time ago. But if I did have one now, I would like to know if it had flippers or...
Flippers.
Two eyes.
Yeah, real penguin situation.
I don't care what the sex of your baby is. I'm sorry, but I don't. The gender reveal thing is, it's a new thing. This wasn't a thing when I was coming up. I don't know where I was coming from
was
or
coming
where I was
up
going
in the
to.
Pregnancy scene.
Back when we used to
roughing
have
it at the mics.
My vagina was much younger.
Times were different. You put in your time.
I just think people, I mean, I do love a celebration. I love that we're looking for reasons for gathering and all that stuff. But the idea that, like, we all care. Like, I'll tell you this, as someone who had a baby come out of my body, all I cared about in that moment was that it was a human being who had a heartbeat and could breathe. And I didn't even necessarily care that it was a human being. It's alive, it's well, whatever it is, I love it, I'm taking care of it. But I remember people would say to me, did you count his fingers and toes? And I was like, no, I didn't give a shit if he had fingers or toes. He doesn't, by the way. And I do love him a little less because of that.
A friend of mine, when they had a baby, he said, we're having a girl no matter what she says. Which I thought is a good joke.
How's that marriage going?
I guessed my friends the sex of their kid via, I don't know why I said it this way, but I was like, I think there's a little penis inside. And I was right.
Were you fucking her at the time?
All right.
Question.
Thank you, Zach. Surprise Me is streaming now on YouTube. When we come back, we're going to do a quick round of some spoilers.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Prolon. Do you love going out with friends?
Yes.
Yes. Does all that eating and drinking take a toll?
Oh,
it sure does.
Still feeling DC.
Yeah, I know.
Still not right.
I'm not right because
we're recording this on a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday.
Came back on a Saturday. Still not right.
Once that age starts with a 4, ooh, you fuck up a weekend, you're spending that whole week dealing with the consequences. Prolon is a plant-based nutrition program featuring soups, snacks, beverages designed to nourish the body while keeping it in a fasting state, triggering cellular rejuvenation and renewal. If your body needs a reset, you need Prolon's 5-day fasting mimicking diet. Now they've upped their game with NextGen, packing the same science-backed benefits into a cleaner, more convenient, and tastier
format. NextGen builds on the original ProLon with 100% organic soups and teas, a richer taste, and ready-to-eat meals. Developed over decades at USC's Longevity Institute and backed by top U.S. medical centers, ProLon has been shown to support biological age reduction, metabolic health, skin appearance, fat loss, and energy. To help you jumpstart a plan that delivers real results, ProLon is offering Love It or Leave It listeners an exclusive chance to be among the first to try NextGen with 15% off site-wide, plus a $40 bonus gift when you subscribe to their five-day program. Just visit ProLonLife.com/love it. That's ProLonLife.com/love it to claim your 15% discount and your bonus gift. ProLonLife.com/love it.
And we're back. Cricket Media Reads' newest book, When We're in Charge, The Next Generation's Guide to Leadership by Amanda Lipman, is out on Tuesday, May 13th. It's a playbook you've been waiting for. Lipman is the co-founder of Run for Something. She spent years helping launch young political careers. Now she's sharing the insights that will help the next generation of leaders make an impact without burning out, with wisdom from over 100 next generation leaders like Maxwell Frost and Verma Sharma. When We're in Charge is your roadmap to leadership in the modern world. Amanda Lipman has done an incredible thing with Run for Something. They've sparked a ton of careers. They've helped win a bunch of local offices all across the country. It's a great book. Pre-order now at crooked.com/books, wherever you get your books. It does a lot to be part of the pre-sale to help make sure the book gets on bestseller list, so it gets in front of people that might not be hearing it but might really like it. So if you can, do us a favor, order a copy today. Also, big news. Love It or Leave It is adding new live show dates in LA from June to October. You can come see how the comedy sausage gets made.
I didn't write that.
And be there for all the yelling and jaw-dropping moments that common decency often prevents us from including in the final edit. So if you're in LA, come say hi. Grab tickets at crooked.com/events. All right. We've talked a lot about the terrible and wonderful surprises of life tonight. But there are some things that you shouldn't find out yourself. And inspired by the fact that Marvel decided to name the title of their movie a spoiler for the movie, we decided we're going to spoil some of life's surprises in a segment we're calling Spoiled Rotten. All right, let's spin the wheel. Do we have a wheel? I thought we said there was a wheel.
Can we get an audience?
I didn't say I didn't want a wheel. I didn't say I didn't want a wheel. All right, you know what? I'm faking it. Let's spin the wheel. It's landed on Zach.
No, it did. It's on Carrie. Push it.
Oh my God, I misread it. It's landed on Zach.
Oh no, it's gotten away. It's killing someone in the audience.
What I hate is I paid so much money for improv classes and I just knowed you. It was so hard.
You did?
Like, no, it didn't land on me.
Well, you know, you can learn from the best right now.
I got your back, kiddo.
Thanks, Angel.
So, Zach, what is it? We're spoiling something about getting older.
What would I tell my
yeah, younger self?
This is RuPaul did this, does this.
Okay.
I.
Wow.
Your unoriginal segment with a fake wheel for anyone listening. I don't know if that was clear. There's not a real wheel here. I would tell my younger self, you are going to grow and blossom. You haven't met all the people that are going to love you yet. And I would encourage young Zach to not masturbate with mom's conditioner. Because now every time as an adult that you hug your mother, just don't do it, little Zach. Just don't. She's not going to change. It's Pantene through her whole life. And now you can't, scent is very important to me. And so you're gonna need, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Now I understand why those pheromones were such an issue. Yeah.
Lean a little closer, Carrie.
I am not wearing Pantene, but I'll go get some for you if it does it for you. I'm a team player.
Yes.
Let's spin it again. Oh, it's landed on me.
Oh.
No, it landed on Carrie.
Oh, here's my spoiler.
Oh, no, it got away again.
It's not real.
Here's my spoiler, which is I can't believe something happens over 40. I can't believe how long it takes me to stand up and sit down. If I sit for more than 5 minutes, I have to stand up. I'm still sitting when I'm standing. I'm still sitting.
I need to see an example.
It's like this. It's like if I'm sitting for a long time, I have to. When
don't
I stand
hurt
up,
yourself.
I'm still sitting.
I see.
And then you kind of let it go.
You'll faint.
But you gotta go slow, otherwise. And you, it's not like I have to go slow. You know what I mean? It's not that. In the same way that I could stay up till 2 a.m. I simply don't, and I know on some level that I can't, even though I could. Have you ever seen or heard about The Exterminating Angel? It's a Spanish film, and in it, they can't leave, but they don't know why. That's what it's like to stand up at this age, which is...
That's what it's like being on this show, too. Sorry, I had to take
really
it.
Good.
I took it.
But it's like you get up here and then you gotta go real slow because I don't know what happens if I go fast. That was scary. The end there was scary.
You're smart. It's like you're like in junior high school. I'm a senior, and you're doing it right. That is correct. Because I'll tell you what happens. You pull something. I popped a rib, laughing. And this was 2 years ago, and it's an issue every now and then. And now I have to sometimes keep control my laughter.
You can't laugh.
Sometimes, which is why I'm holding it in for all of your jokes tonight.
Wow. Who told, what was the 2 year ago joke that broke your
rib? It wasn't a joke. It was nothing. Nothing happened. It was, why are you interrogating? No, I'm just kidding. I just realized I was.
Seems like a fake story.
I was getting so upset. No, my point is, it was over nothing. It was Christmas Eve and I was vacuuming and I was reaching for my husband's laptop that was on the motherfucking couch when I had asked him to clean it up. And it's heavier than it looked. So with one hand, I was reaching over to grab something. With the other hand, I leaned over to grab the thing. My son said something funny. I chuckled, popped a rib. Listen, I'm 55.
Do you think maybe one of the issues is that your family won't give you a Christmas Eve off?
Yes!
Giving the fucking house?
Yeah, you're getting Bob Cratchit.
What are you, Donna
there.
Reed? What's going
Wait
on?
Wait a second.
Christmas Eve, you're cleaning up the laptop? What's going on?
Fuck those guys.
But now you have a beautiful memory of a joke your son told. Like, he made you laugh and broke
and
you.
Broke me.
Yeah.
Oh, he broke me every which way.
I pulled a shoulder thing recently.
I brought the video of my son's birth. So if we could roll that.
Why is it a sad
pop
face?
And you didn't pop a rib that day.
No, not that day.
Popped your...
Let's spin it again.
Listen.
It's landed on Carrie.
Oh, my gosh. What are the odds?
No, it broke into the audience.
Oh, no. They died again.
What's a spoiler you have for life?
So 5 years ago, I wish I could go back and tell baby Carrie. I'm only six. I wish I could go back and tell Carrie that perhaps you should buy the Audi Q5 and not the Tesla. Aww. So listen, I tell you this for a reason, because I don't want someone to murder me when I'm walking to my car tonight because you think maybe I'm a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. I thought I was saving the world. And what did I know? Now I know.
Yeah, I had one too.
Did you sell it?
Mm-hmm.
See, I tried to sell it, and they were like, "Madam, here are $2."
Yeah, I'm not gonna say I didn't take a pretty bad hit on it.
This is beyond bad.
It's crazy. Yeah, you can't give those things away.
You literally cannot. They won't come pick it up. So, this is a situation. Listen, I love the car, but this was a while ago. I don't know, guys.
Mine rattled.
I'm doing a GoFundMe.
To free Maya.
That's a meaningful cause.
It really is.
I think Gail
really
Gary,
is. It's not just to have the car hauled off, but it's to buy me a new Audi Q5.
No, that's so important.
It really is.
It's a really noble and worthy cause.
I just want to do it for our country. God, everyone's so uptight about it.
So to recap, don't buy a Tesla. Don't jack off with mom's conditioner and stand up slowly.
Hey. You gotta stand
whatever
up slowly.
Age you are.
Whatever age you are. Well, I still sit like I'm in my 20s, but the body knows. The body remembers. The body keeps the score, famously. And so it's like I sit like cross-legged, hunched over on my laptop, writing all of this great material with the help of an incredible team that does most of the work. And But I'm still in a posture problem. You know, then I'm all sure. fucked up.
I've stood up. I mean, I'm 36, but I'm still starting to feel things. And I'll stand up and it'll be asleep. And I have to just pose for a minute or two.
Do you think that because you're tall, do you realize that because you're tall, you're probably aging slightly faster?
Oh, we die. Yeah. That's why we're worshipped. We're here not as long.
Because you're like a...
There aren't tall grandpas.
Because you're like a grand... Yeah, there are no tall grandpas. You're like a Great Dane. Of
oh, God, can. That's such a great title for your book. There what? Are no tall grandpas. No tall grandpas.
That's... Yeah. Yeah.
Enjoy. I'm gone tomorrow.
Wow, that's an interesting... That's an
on
interesting
my flight
direction.
Home on Sunday.
My first special was about how fun it is to get a random donut. My second special is about how I'll be dying young and there are no tall grandpas.
But I thought I was dying since I was young. And hearing you say you're over 40 and you feel that way, I felt like that in my 20s. I felt like that. Tom Lennon has referred to me as mother since I was 20, but not in the like sexy goddess, like mother, I want to fuck her kind of way, but in the like, I'm giving you soup and I wear a house coat and I have curlers kind of mother. Like, because I'll stand up and I'll go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, careful.
Yep. Okay. I'm good. Because it's like I'm dizzy and my back, I don't need a lot. Can I have that donut?
Yeah. And that's our show. Thank you to Gary Kenny Silver and Zach Zimmerman. We'll see you next week at Flappers in Burbank. We have a great show lined up. There are 542 days until the midterms. Have a great night and have a great weekend.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Coffin, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Will Miles are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Schercher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Kaderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat. Our head of programming is Madeline Herringer. And our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.